offer my sincerest, heartfelt gratitude to all of you. My dear father, who has traveled over 10,000 miles to be here. My dear brother, my lifelong friends, Gary, Richard, to these illustrious God brothers and God sisters, Gurudas Prabhu, Shamsundar Prabhu, Chanakarta Prabhu, Narasinghananda Prabhu, Nartaki, Sachi Devi, Shankarshan, Sacharya, and so many others. To Sri Ram Kumar, one of the high priests of the Jagannath Temple. To Brajendra Nandana Prabhu, the longtime personal servant of one of Srila Prabhupada's dearest God brothers, Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj. And to each and every one of you, this is a celebration of Krishna, whose divine grace has come down through the ages. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskratam dharma samstapanardaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna tells us in Gita that he descends into this world to attract the hearts of those who have forgotten him and to reestablish the true principles of religion. Through disciplic succession, this knowledge has been preserved and presented to the world. And our beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he crossed several oceans and continents time and time again as an instrument of this compassion. And we have heard from so many of his disciples who are far more intimate and dear to him than I ever was, or perhaps will be. Personally, I'm just an insignificant person trying to serve. And by Srila Prabhupada's grace, he's allowing me to perform this service. And it is I who thank each and every one of you, because the most intimate, personal, loving association Srila Prabhupada has ever given me is in the opportunity to serve each and every one of you. You are all Srila Prabhupada's representatives to me, because I can connect with him, I could serve him, and hopefully I could please him by helping all of you to serve him. Vancha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindubya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. The gift we have been given, which is unique, not just a religion with beliefs and rituals. We have been given a culture and a philosophy that culminates in selfless love. Love for God, for Krishna, and for all living beings. Lord Chaitanya taught Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudichiti Koriya Yudoi, that love for Krishna is the nature of everyone. It is our greatest potential, and it is our true identity. But we have forgotten. And what keeps us in that forgetful state? What keeps us from experiencing our real inheritance? We are Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And the ecstasy of love for Krishna is within the heart of every one of us. It is selfishness, egoism, where we want to put ourselves in the center of our motivations and our decisions in life. Krishna consciousness, true Sanatana Dharma, is to put the pleasure of Krishna in the center of our lives. And we see within the world, among religions and among ourselves, so much quarrel, mundane competition, and conflict. We have been commissioned to access the highest treasure and to distribute it to the world. But this is the one and only thing that prevents us from accomplishing that purpose. We hold on to our own egoistic, selfish desires. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the Sankirtan movement. That means the movement where we come together. Despite our race, our nationality, our sex, our religion, despite our backgrounds, our social status, we come together as eternal family, as children of God, to inspire, empower each other to love God through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And to the degree we genuinely care about each other without selfish pride, we all gain incredible spiritual strength through the grace of Prabhupada and Krishna. I'd like to speak an analogy. Could everyone hear? Thank you. Recently, this was just a couple months ago, I was in San Francisco, California. With one of my very, very dear friends and godbrothers, Vaisheshika Prabhu. We have a special tradition. No matter what else happens during the year, I try every year to go there. And under the pretense of giving lectures and counseling, I spend one full day with Vaisheshika Prabhu walking through a redwood forest called Muir Woods. Shamsundarji Prabhu and Gurudas Prabhu told me that they took Srila Prabhupada many years ago on walks through Muir Woods. So it's a very holy place of pilgrimage. There, some of the largest trees on planet Earth, redwood trees. Some redwood trees, it takes 40 people to 40 grown adults holding hands to make a circle around one tree. They have very thick bark, and they grow higher and higher and higher and higher. They're the tallest trees in the world. They're the widest trees in the world. And often they live thousands of years. And every time I go there, I learn some special lessons about life, about bhakti, from these trees. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna tells about this avadhut Brahman who had, I think it was 24 gurus, the sun, the earth, the clouds, the moon, the trees, the pigeons, the bees, different kinds of people. So if we're really searching for Krishna, Krishna reveals so many lessons in our common life. Every year, Vaisheshika Prabhu and I spend hours and hours and hours just revealing our hearts and speaking in this beautiful forest. Because the bark of the trees is so thick and there's so many, there's hardly any sunlight that could get in that area. And it's very quiet. You hear every footstep. Like that. And as we were walking and speaking about our realizations, about Srila Prabhupada, about our people we're meeting, about our own hearts, our struggles, we came upon a group of tourists. They were from China. And they were gathered around a forest ranger. They're like the people who take care of the forest. He was giving them a lecture. So we stood a little behind the tourists to hear the lecture. Would you like to hear? What are you supposed to say? Thank you. He explained that for most trees, in order to get the strength to not fall down, the roots grow very, very deep. Like, for instance, a palm tree, the roots usually grow as deep in the ground as the tree is above the ground. Redwood trees are the tallest trees on the planet, and the roots do not grow deep. And some of them are standing for 2,000 years. They're standing through hurricanes, cyclones, tornadoes, windstorms, earthquakes. In this forest in San Francisco, there's been about 5 or 6 earthquakes, major earthquakes, since these trees have been standing and growing. How do they stand? He explained the secret. The roots grow out. They go underground and they reach out. And they have a special mystical power, these trees. That the roots, when they come in contact with each other, they wrap around each other many times. And the roots are growing all around. And they grow wide, wide, wide. So each tree may be connected to every other tree in the forest, directly or indirectly, because their roots are all interconnected. And then earthquakes and cyclones and everything pushing, pushing, and they're all holding each other up underground by the roots. And it enables them to keep growing and growing thousands of years. This is Sankirtan. Srila Prabhupada, one of his last instructions to us was you can show your love for me by how you cooperate with one another. This is a very deep statement. Because in this age of Kali, the time of quarrel and hypocrisy, it's very difficult to cooperate. But from Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we understand cooperation doesn't simply mean to somehow or other keep peace treaties. To somehow or other not fight. To somehow or other not destroy each other. That's the basics of cooperation. But true cooperation means to actually really feel for each other, care for each other, love for each other, because that's what keeps us strong in our bhakti. Our very roots have to be interconnected. When Prabhupada gave us this instruction of cooperation, because it is a vital necessity for our individual and collective spiritual growth. Where we really care. In these redwood forests, these little tiny redwood trees, they're so frail. They're just growing, growing little by little by little. But they have all the power and the strength of all the gigantic redwood trees because their roots are interconnected with them. And all the big trees are getting tremendous strength from the little trees because through the little trees they're being connected with other big trees on the other side of the little trees. The weak get stronger, the stronger get stronger, and all their strength is being shared. Srila Prabhupada said, united we stand, divided we fall. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of the sticks. If there is a bundle of sticks tied together, nothing could break it. But if you take out each stick, easily broken. It's the same wisdom of the redwood forest. But how to do that? When devotees are weak, we're here to make them strong. When we're weak, we need the shelter of the Vaishnavas to make us strong. And we're together. In Mayapur, we were discussing the Mahaprakash Leela of Srivasangam. All the devotees got the supreme perfection of their lives by Lord Chaitanya. He bestowed upon them all their blessings. and revealed the very form of God that they worshipped. But he neglected Mukunda Dutt. So like the redwood forest, no one was happy that I got what I wanted. Because unless Mukunda gets what he needs, how could we be happy? That was the unity of their hearts. It is this kind of culture, this kind of society, that each and every one of us are responsible to contribute to in this spirit. This is how, Srila Prabhupada said, we can show our love for him. Anyone can say jai jai. Anyone can talk about their experiences. And those are wonderful things. But to actually show love, Srila Prabhupada gave his word that the very roots of our hearts are interconnected, so that all of us, we're all concerned with everyone else to grow higher and higher and higher in our bhakti. That's family. Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, when they come to this world, they come to create a family. Brindavan, the forest of Brinda, the goddess of devotion. Wherever we are living, we want to create that Brindavan, that forest where we are all interconnected to help each other grow, to inspire each other, to feel safety, shelter, love, and together to raise our arms and loudly call out the holy name. May I tell you another incident of a year before in the Muir Woods? After we were walking for almost the whole day and talking and sitting and sharing our hearts, which is so important for devotees to do with each other, the Muir Woods Park was closing. Actually, what we usually do whenever we go there is his good wife, Nirakula, or other devotees, they cook prasad for us. So we sit just outside of the Muir Woods on the grass, and we take prasad. And I remember this one year, there was a little chipmunk. Do you know, like a little, they're tiny squirrels. It was living in a hole in the ground. And it came out, and I couldn't believe it. Vaisheshika Prabhu took a simply wonderful, a sweet ball, prasad, and threw it. And the chipmunk caught it and ate it. And then he went down in the hole. And then he threw it and it went right into the hole. I was thinking, that's amazing. So I tried throwing it. It went about 3 feet away from the hole. But anyways, we took prasad, whatever, we didn't feed the chipmunks. And his wife made pasta with tomato sauce. So it was very nice. Then we went into Muir Woods and we spent the day soul searching, talking, laughing, crying, everything. And we came out and the sun had already set. Something very strange. When we came out of the forest, there was a fire truck with its lights blinking. And we saw several ambulances with their lights swirling, those red lights, emergency. And then we saw several police cars with their lights swirling. Never saw this before. We were wondering, what happened? Must be a disaster. So we walked a little way into the parking lot where my dear godbrother's car was parked. And just when we were approaching our car, a siren went, and we turned around, and a state police car zoomed right up to us with the lights on. And two police officers came out and held their guns out and said, "Put your hands up." They were talking to us. So we put our hands up. And then they searched us to make sure we had no weapons. Good story. And after we were standing like this, then a local county police car zoomed up with its lights on. And the officers came out. And then a city police car came. And then a forest ranger police car came. We were surrounded by squad cars and police. And they were talking to each other, and they were on radios, and they took our identification. And we asked, "Why are you doing this to us?" And very official. They say, "You see all these ambulances and fire engines? Because we have been getting calls from people's cell phones in Muir Woods that they're being brutally beaten. Several people have been brutally beaten. We're taking them out in stretchers, and they all say the same thing, that they have been beaten by someone in the robes of a monk. And you are the only ones in the robes of monks." So they were called, taking our IDs and calling, and different police, they kept coming. Others, "Do you need help with these men?" Other policemen, and they were saying, "We have them under control." And then they interrogated, "What are you doing here?" And Vaisheshika said, "He's on a book tour. He wrote a book called The Journey Home, and he was giving lectures at different universities and different corporation headquarters and bookstores." He said, "Huh, that sounds like a good excuse." And then the policeman looked at me, and he said, "You don't look like somebody who could beat anybody up." He said, "Let me see if there's any blood on your clothes." Bah! Blood! What is that? What is that? He pointed toward my dhoti. I didn't know it, but it was the tomato sauce from the pasta. It was all over my dhoti. He said, "That looks like blood. What is it?" I said, "It's tomato sauce." He was quite suspicious about my answer. It was getting freezing cold, and we were still there. And they held us for about an hour, just standing in the parking lot, surrounded by police. And then they came with one of the victims, who was really beaten up. He was in the back of a police car. And they showed us to him. And he looked at us, didn't say anything, got back in the police car, and they drove off. And then the policeman said, He said, it was not you. But what can we do? You're the only people dressed like monks in this place, in this forest. He said, we're very sorry that we held you this way. And the state police sheriff ended his in holding us by saying, but I think this will make a good chapter in your next book. So that was a good lesson from the Muir Woods. That in this world, even if we're just trying to do good, whoever we are, we just don't know when difficulties will come. And actually, if that person would have just said, yes, that's him, we would have been in jail maybe for years. It's not about wearing monk's robes. I never heard of monks beating people up in woods. It could happen to any one of us at any time. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. Even if we're perfectly innocent and trying to do good, we may be misunderstood. But if our roots, if the roots of our affection are connected to Krishna and with each other, it can give us strength by which even the adversities and challenges in life become something wonderful. How many of you like this story? See? It became something wonderful. At the time, it was something that we didn't know what our destiny would be. But now people are inspired, enlivened, and educated. So when we are connected, even darkness brings light. Even conflict creates peace. Even antagonism upon us creates compassion. That's what spiritual life is. If our rituals, if our sadhana, hearing, chanting, the nine processes of devotional service, prayer, puja, if it is not bringing this quality out of our hearts, then it's very unsubstantial. It's not serving its purpose. In order for any of our spiritual practices to actually have maximum or even substantial effect, they have to be developed with good character. Humility, forgiveness, determination, and selfless service. Another lesson we learned from that Wedgwood Forest is how most of the redwood seeds, all of them actually, they're trapped within the redwood cone. The cone is hard like wood. And it's practically impossible for the seed to get out of that cone. In the Muir Woods, we learned, There was 50 years went by with no new trees growing, and they were wondering why. Then they came to the conclusion, because the forest rangers were putting out all the fires too fast. You see, fire, when there's a fire, it cracks open the cone and the redwood seed falls out from the cone into the ground. And the fires also produce ashes, so that when that redwood cone, that seed falls into the ground, it's protected by the ashes. And it's, and the soil is nourished by the minerals in the ashes. And also, the fire clears away all the smaller trees so that sunlight could come down into that little sprout that's in the ground. The fires help the little tree to grow. In fact, they're necessary. So we have this Bhakti Lata Bija, the seed of devotion that Srila Prabhupada has planted in all of our hearts by his grace. And we water the seed by hearing and chanting. But usually, it is the inevitable fires that come in our life that help us to actually take it seriously. I've told you many stories about when I was on that airplane. So many times I'm chanting on an airplane that's going for 9 hours, going, but when there was that emergency alarm that we're going to have an emergency landing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's chanting very, very carefully. One of the reasons Kali Yuga is considered the best of all yugas is because there is so many uncertainties. So we're not complacent when we pray, when we chant. We're not complacent when we have relationships. If there's an emergency, we need each other. People may disagree in the army, but when they're face to face with the enemy and they're shooting at them, they're not having arguments. If I protect you, you're protecting me. That's the only way we can survive. So difficulties help us to understand the urgent need to be united. Difficulty helps us to understand the need to take shelter of the Lord through our prayer, through our yogic practices of hearing and chanting the holy names of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya taught us is another lesson we should learn from these trees. Trinadapi sunichena taror iva sehishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be humble like a blade of grass. To be forgiving and tolerant like a tree. To offer all respect to others and not demand respect for oneself. It is in this spirit that we can be united. It is in this spirit that we could actually taste the sweetness of Krishna when we call out his names. We could feel his presence. Param drishtva nivartate. There are so many fears, so many temptations that come to all of us in this world. But they can be easily overcome if we have a higher purpose, if we're experiencing something higher. In this bhakti tradition of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, We are taught that the absolute truth, the supreme father of all living beings, or God, is not just the cause of all causes, the source of everything, the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of all existence, the rewarder of piety, and the punisher of sin. These are all aspects of that one supreme truth. But we are taught that these are subordinate, almost external aspects of Krishna. Above and beyond, he is the source of all beauty. The ultimate source of all sweetness, of kindness, of love. His pastimes, his leelas, with his devotees, Krishna reciprocates with each devotee unlimitedly. Unlimited love for each of his unlimited children. Playful. Supremely charming. The name Krishna means all attractive. Whatever beautiful things we have and see in this world that may enchant our minds, they are only an infinitesimal spark of a shadow of Krishna's infinite sweetness. The more we understand the beauty of the Lord, the more we naturally fall in love with the Lord. The more we fall in love with the Lord, the more that love extends like the redwood tree roots to all living beings. As we find shelter, we can give shelter. And at the same time, as we get shelter, we can give shelter. And as we give shelter, we receive shelter. This is bhakti. Lord Chaitanya, he taught something that was really revolutionary. Not to be great. Everyone wants to be great. He taught us to be grateful. So many of us want to be the controller, the proprietor, the enjoyer. Lord Chaitanya taught us the ultimate aspiration, which is billions and trillions of quadrillions of unlimited times more satisfying than trying to become God or one with the everything, is Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Das 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 Anudas. To make this the standard which we're striving for, to make this the standard of our lives on a day-to-day level, and that is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, the Anu, the smallest of all servants of all servants of that all-beautiful Lord of the Gopis, Gopinath. Because it is in that spirit that Krishna reveals his infinite beauty and sweetness, where we could actually feel the rays of Krishna's infinite love upon us. And just like that little tree, when it feels the rays of the sun, it grows. If you go to our little Vrindavan forest behind our temple in Chopati, in Mumbai there's all these big buildings everywhere, so there's a lot of blocking of sun. You'll see that some of our trees, they're growing, instead of this way, they're growing this way and this way, trying to be in the sun. What's really happening, this is truth, this is not an analogy. The light of the sun, the tree, is actually reciprocating with the light of the sun by growing in the direction of the sun. And similarly, when we are exposed to the light of Krishna's love, our own love grows in the direction of that light. And that is what we are here for, to help each other to remain in the light of that grace, and to try to help all of our brothers and sisters of all species of life throughout the whole world to feel the nourishing light of that grace. Srila Prabhupada traveled all around the world giving that grace. We heard from Guru Das Prabhu and Shyamasundara Prabhu what it did in their lives and how it empowered them. In San Francisco, in London, in India, it was Shyamasundara, no need to talk about what he did before he met Srila Prabhupada and Guru Das Prabhu, because those things are just not important. What's important is the transformation that happened. They felt the light of Krishna's grace shining through Srila Prabhupada's every word, his every action, his every prayer. And they grew. And they reached hundreds of people in the Haight-Ashbury district of San Francisco, which was really a desperate place. And they went to London, a place, it is said, when the British had control over most of the world, the saying was, the sun never sets in the British Empire. But now all they have left is a little island. And it's always, almost always, cloudy. So the sun hardly ever rises in the British Empire. I think this idea of good morning, because sunny mornings in England are very rare, so it's a really serious thing, good morning. But they went there and Srila Prabhupada's sun just shined through them, because it shined and they were growing with that light, and the light was coming from them, and soon they were living with the Beatles and they were making record albums and they were on television and there were hundreds and hundreds of people and there was temples and then there was mansions. They had nothing. Nothing except that light. They had no money. They had no training. They just had that light. And then they came to India. And they decided, let's do something big for Srila Prabhupada. They had no money. They only knew a few people. Let's do a program to attract tens and thousands of people to hear Srila Prabhupada speak. And they had that, how they did it, they don't know how they did it. They had a pandal bigger than this. There may be 7,000 or 8,000 people today, but there was about 20,000 people. And they had nothing to do it with. And it was right here, in this park where we sit, Cross Maidan. And I was just coming out of a dark cave in the Himalayas. And I happened to see the brilliance. Shamsundar Prabhu Gurudas, it was their idea to put that hoarding, that billboard, saying Hare Krishna Festival. If it wasn't for that billboard, I don't know where I would be today. We don't know when we're serving, we don't know what the effect is going to be of anything we do. I was just coming out of a Buddhist meditation course and I was walking, minding my own business. To this day, I really like to mind my own business. But nobody lets me do it. So what to do? It's, if I can serve, it's my good fortune. And I was walking down the street and I saw this big sign. A spiritual festival? I asked somebody, where is this Cross Maidan? They said, it's just over a few blocks. So I came and there was this giant tent. And I remember, because earlier this year, our beloved god sister Yamuna Devi, Srila Prabhupada took her into his loving embrace in the spiritual world. But that was one of the first experiences I had of Krishna consciousness. There was only a few people in the pandal during the day, and she was for hours sitting on the stage all alone, playing a harmonium, singing. Hours with her eyes closed, just singing, like an angel. Sometimes with tears in her eyes. There was nobody for her to sing to except Krishna. To please her guru. And as people started coming, she was just sharing that love she received, sharing that light of the sun of Krishna coming through Prabhupada with people all around. It deeply moved my heart. I didn't know what bhakti was. I didn't know the philosophy of it. I hardly even heard the word. But I was deeply moved by it. By the light coming from her heart through her song. And as the hours passed, about 20,000 people gathered. And I was way in the back. It was here, 41 and a half years ago, that billboard was Shamsundar Prabhu's idea to put it there. Somehow or other, it attracted me there. And then Srila Prabhupada spoke something to Gurudas Prabhu, and he came all the way to the back and literally grabbed me by the hand and said, Prabhupada wants you to sit with him. And I said, how does Prabhupada know me? He didn't answer my question. He just pulled me. And being as pullable as I am, I followed him. And Srila Prabhupada, there was a kirtan going. He didn't say anything, but he welcomed me with folded palms. And then with his hand, he offered me to sit just close to him. I didn't know who he was, but I felt his love. I felt his compassion. I felt his care. And my heart opened so wide to hear what he spoke. And everything just made so much sense. It seemed to answer all my questions. I stayed with him for about 2 weeks. But still, I was not convinced. My heart was convinced, but my mind and intelligence had so many other questions and aspirations. So I left to go back to the Himalayas, where I met so many sages and rishis and yogis. And then to get my visa extended, I went to Patna and then to Nepal. And it was in Nepal, in that rice paddy, that I walked for about 20 minutes under an umbrella with the only other person within miles around during a monsoon rainstorm. And when the rain stopped, I said, "Thank you." And he turned around. It was my lifelong best friend, Gary. I said, "Gary, I will teach you how to be a sadhu." So he said, "Yes, I will become a sadhu." And we jumped through that third class train and went to Patna, we went to Varanasi, and then there was that big flood, and the train was standing still for about 20 hours, and then it moved, and we were thirsty, and we were hungry, and we wanted to move because we were crying. We couldn't sit down in about 40 hours, and finally we crawled out a window. It was 5 o'clock in the morning, the train left us, and we were in Mathura on Janmashtami. I was on my way to Amarnath in the Himalayas to worship Shiva. I told Gary I would meet him at Haridwar in 3 days. But on the third day, I got typhoid fever on the bank of Yamuna, so I couldn't leave Vrindavan. Actually, Srila Prabhupada planted that seed in my heart, and I didn't even know what was happening. But because Prabhupada, he showed love, he showed care for me. It was Krishna that created that monsoon storm. It was Krishna that gave me typhoid fever. It was Krishna that wouldn't let me leave Vrindavan. And it was Krishna who completely charmed my heart in Vrindavan, so I never wanted to leave it. It was all Srila Prabhupada's compassion. He planted the seed. He offered his love. And I was trapped. And I was so happy. And then he came back. And with him, Guru Das, Prabhu, Shamsundar Prabhu, Yamuna Devi. And then I could understand what Srila Prabhupada was. What was his compassion? What was his love? And through understanding Prabhupada, I could really understand, to whatever little extent I'm able, what is the beauty of Krishna? What is the beauty of the path of bhakti, the path of unconditional love? While I was in Vrindavan, I got a letter from my younger brother, Larry, who told me how I was totally breaking the heart of my mother and father by being away for so long in these strange, dangerous places. I didn't want to hurt them. But I believed in the very deepest core of my heart that if I do not have selfish motives, if I honestly, earnestly am trying to love Krishna and serve Krishna through my beloved Guru, then Krishna will compensate. And today it's like another one of those closing of the circles. Gary, my father's name is Jerry. I've never called him that name because I always call him Father. So I'm not calling him, I'm just talking about him to you. So today we have Gary, Larry, and Jerry. And Shamsundar, and Guru Das. All people, as Gary said, he was the one who got me on this journey. He convinced me, let's go. So they were all these people who have assembled today who are so intimately a part of my coming to Srila Prabhupada's loving service. And by his grace, he's giving me this most precious of all treasures in the opportunity to try to honestly, earnestly give my very life for each and every one of you. I'm a very small person, and sometimes when there's big numbers of people, it's hard to personally reciprocate on a physical level. But please know in my heart of hearts, whatever you do for the service of Prabhupada and Krishna, I am so indebted. I am so grateful. I am your servant. I am yours. Because that is my only hope of staying under the light of Srila Prabhupada's divine grace. In this spirit, I thank you. Let us remain very determined and serious to perform our sadhana. Let us cultivate deep enthusiasm for devotional service to the Vaishnavas, to the deity, and to all living beings. And let us shower the whole world with that grace through our chanting of the holy names. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.